Thanks for letting me share, guys. I've been getting really blessed preparing for Children's Fellowship, looking at all these fun books, going through the Principles of Parenting series a little bit, and it's really been helpful to my own life and my own parenting, because I'm not parenting littles anymore, and I'm not carrying my spoon in my back pocket. But a lot of these principles, as I was going through, I was like, oh my gosh, this still applies, or like, oh, there were little things that I could glean here and there from it. So it was really fun. So I just wanted to start sharing things, some of the stuff that I had learned. In light of our fellowship discussion two months ago in October, I wanted to start out by reading a passage from the New Dynamic Church. It blessed me a lot just in terms of like why we do these in-home fellowships. And I don't know, Dr. Gold's part regarding in-home fellowships. So we're going to start with that. So it is New Dynamic Church, page 155. And children, this is how we're going to go through the night. I'm going to check off every scripture, every little thing that I go to, so you can kind of see where we are. And also you can see, oh my gosh, we're almost done with the teaching, because I know sometimes it's hard to be patient. All right, so first, New Dynamic Church, this is page 155. Dr. Worrell says, when the churches met in the homes, the small groups made possible participation by everyone, as well as the giving of attention and help to the individual. Inside the home or church group, there must be leadership. The work of the Lord cannot be done haphazardly. I believe we could meet in homes in groups of 6 to possibly 20 people or so, depending on the size of the room. Then we could take care of the believers in every particular area. No one would need to drive very far, and yet the people would hear the wonderful word of God. Our children could meet in a separate room with an adult teaching them the word of God, or they could sit with the adults. Hearing the word of God properly explained and the manifestations operated would be the greatest thing that could be done for them. Remember, it is the churches, the fellowships of the believers that we are concerned about. Nothing that man has built will suffice. And I thought that was so cool in light of really all of our hearts together for this fellowship and what we want to build. So I wanted to start out by sharing that. And a few things mentioned that I thought were cool about these in-home fellowships is that there's participation by everyone. There's giving of attention and help to the individual, and including our individual children. Everyone here, people, can hear the wonderful word of God, and the children, too, get to hear manifestations operated, and they're taught the word. So that's really my heart with the Children's Fellowship as well, that we want to make sure that the children are cared for. We want the children to hear the manifestations operated, that we wanted to hear power operated, and that the children also get to hear God's word. So I wanted to go into a little bit more detail about a few key things that I'll be doing every time we meet with the children for Children's Fellowship. I'm going to mark off that we have done the New Dynamic Church. Ta-da! Okay. So, one of the main goals in the Children's Fellowship is to build believing in the children and to help them grow in their walk with God. So the kids, the first thing they're going to have opportunity to do is to pray. So although we have a season of prayer up here, sometimes it can be super intimidating to pray in a large group or in a large room. So they're going to have opportunity to pray downstairs. And we're doing this, actually, let's go to Matthew first before I extrapolate on that. So we're going to go to Matthew 21, verse 22, which is a verse of scripture, I'm sure. You could probably not even have to turn there. You could say it from memory. Matthew 21, verse 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Right, Holden, we marked it. Ta-da, we did that one too. All right, So in doing this and allowing the children to pray, it gives them an opportunity to lovingly acknowledge God. And by acknowledging, it's like we're admitting that he is true, real, and genuine, that we're also respecting and recognizing the authority of God, and also builds believing in each of them, in God's word, in themselves, and in others. And I think it's really cool. I don't know, one of my favorite things is to listen to the kids pray, because it inspires me to really go to God in that really honest way that a kid will go to God, right? That he wants to hear all the big things and all the little things. He wants to hear that, you know, their teddy bear is missing and that they want God's help finding it. And that's how we should be with God as well. So they're going to have opportunity to pray. The next thing that we're going to practice at Children's Fellowship is the stayed mind. The stayed mind is super important in believing the word, and especially in those situations that can be super duper intense. To look at that, we're going to go to Mark 5, verses 35 and 36. Sure, another area that's super familiar to you guys. So this is the record where Jesus Christ is being pressed upon by a whole bunch of people, and there's the woman with the issue of blood, and she gets healed immediately. But Jesus Christ was on his way to heal Jairus' little daughter, right? So Mark 5, verse 35. And while he, Jesus Christ, yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troubleth the master any further?" That's a pretty intensive situation that they were in right there. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." He immediately started fighting for that guy's believing, right? Be not afraid, only believe. And that only is one out of many. Of all the things that you could think, only have one thought, believe. And we want our children to be able to do that kind of stuff, to be able to quiet their minds and think just that one thought, and that one thought being whatever it is that they need to think from the word of God. The greatest cargoes in life come in on quiet seas is the great quote from Dr. Worrell. So to do this, anybody who can is able to sit and just quiet their bodies and quiet their minds. But if they might need a little extra help, we're going to go to John 8 to see what Jesus Christ did and how we can kind of do the same thing with the kids. So we'll go to John 8. I will mark that we did the rest from Mark. So John 8, verses 4 through 9, again, looking at Jesus Christ's example, he was in the midst of a bunch of people, and a woman was brought to him who was taken in adultery, and he needed to figure out what to do in that situation, because by the law, she should have been stoned. But was that the right thing to do? He needed to get tight with God. And what he did is, in verse 4, they said unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Again, very intensive situation. Jesus Christ needed to know exactly what God wanted him to do. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. So in this situation, Jesus Christ, to quiet his mind, just stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And downstairs on our carpet, we have like different shapes. So if the kids want to and they need something to kind of just like do a repetitive pattern to help quiet their minds. They're able to trace a pattern on the rug. And so we've been really great. The past couple fellowships, we've been able to do 30 seconds. They want to challenge themselves further and further, which is awesome. But they're practicing that state mind so that they can quiet their minds and quiet their bodies to be able to hear from God and to be able to also think that one thing and believe that one thing in those situations. Okay, we can go to Romans 10. So the next thing, of course, that we're going to do at Children's Fellowship is we're going to hear a teaching from God's Word. Oh, bookmark though. Okay, so in Romans 10, super familiar verse of scripture again, verse 17, says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we want to build believing in our children, the word's got to be involved, right? We got to give them something to believe. So we're going to teach them the word, which is great. And this section, the next section I want to go to regarding teaching the word, teaching it to children, is in Deuteronomy 6. Kirsty shared this so many years ago, and I don't know, it's on repeat in my head when I think about teaching my children and maybe grandchildren one day, who knows? I can only see one of my kids, so gotta get eyes on her. Elizabeth's hiding. Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 9. And this to me is just such a beautiful section of scripture regarding God's heart for his people and God's heart for families. So Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it's just so beautiful, God's heart here for his people and again for families. And it sounds very good, doesn't it? Like, these are really good things here that we should learn the word and do it. And then there's all these benefits to doing the word. And those are things that certainly we want to continually teach the kids. Right? Like in verse 2, it talks about that our days will be prolonged. You know, in verse 3, it's that land that floweth with milk and honey. Like, these are all really beautiful things that God wants for us. That we may increase mightily. It's all good, good, good when we do God's word. And as families, that we just continue to teach our children diligently the word of God. So that's the third thing that we'll be doing at Children's Fellowship each week. And then the fourth thing, I'll mark it. We went to Deuteronomy. Look, guys, we're almost there. You're doing great sitting here. So the final fourth thing that we'll do every fellowship is that there's going to be some sort of an activity or a game. And this will be to reinforce the teaching or reinforce a principle from God's word. So we can go to Acts, verse 8, to see what these folks did. Acts chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. All right. Well, I trust we're not going to be casting out spirits, but in verse 7 it says, "For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed." So that's all people doing God's word, doing God's will. Verse 8 says, "And there was great joy in that city." That doing God's word is fun. It's dynamic. It's exciting. And so we're going to reinforce that doing God's word is fun by having an activity or a game. We do need to behave and sit respectfully at fellowship, as all you guys are doing such a great job doing that. But we don't need to be robots for God, right? In Psalms, it talks about dancing, it talks about singing and having fun worshiping God. So we'll do a little bit of that. It's probably not going to be super loud because they're going to be right below you. But we'll have an activity or a game at the end of every children's fellowship. And then really, I just wanted to share a little bit. There we go. We went here. About a few practical items regarding children's fellowship. And again, this is a lot of stuff that just blessed me so much in going through principles of parenting, God's word, teaching God's word to children, reading, going through a little bit with Diamonds in the Rough, is that children's fellowship is definitely, I want it to be a support to what you all are doing at home already. Proverbs 22:6. Again, you probably all could quote it. We're all doing it anyway at home, but just as a refresher to hear the word spoken again. Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And that training involves all those things that we know from 2 Timothy 3:16. That instruction in righteousness, which includes teaching the doctrine of God's word, and then that constant reproof and correction that happens when they're very young. Generally, the goal that we're all looking for, and I'm still looking for it in my teenagers, is that the child obey, and that they obey the first time. And the heart behind that is that we want their habit pattern to be obedience, so that when God tells them to do something, that they're going to obey it the first time. Or even when they read something in the word, that they're going to be like, yes, that's it. I'm sold out to this. And they're going to obey it, and they're going to do it the first time. I don't know who's read this book, but this came out recently, Nancy Pitt's book called Diamonds in the Rough. But I just wanted to read, she says, I don't know if you've read it, but it's very conversational. It's really, really sweet. It's like reading this woman's heart. She recently came out with this after her, I believe that she had a lot to do with the actual class at the Way Ram, Diamonds in the Rough, and then she followed up with this book, I don't know, in the last 2 years. Dorsey Foley had a lot to do with helping edit it. But on page 71 of Diamonds in the Rough, this is in the All Scripture is Profitable section. It really blessed me, again, like in my own parenting, so I wanted to share it. Regarding obedience, "You will understand the why when you commit your works to God, when you obey Him. Many times after you ask a child to do something, they'll say, 'Why?' Well, that child could really get himself into a lot of trouble while asking why. Here's an extreme example. Let's say I see a giant truck coming down the road, and Aaron is out in the street but doesn't see the truck. And I shout, 'Aaron, get out of the street!' And he says, 'Why?' Well, there goes the truck right over him." Do you understand what I'm saying? Many times we act the same way. While we're standing there asking why, when God tells us to do something, the world could be passing us by. No, you don't ask why. 9 times out of 10, if you just obey what's asked of you, you'll find out the reason for it right after you do it. Hasn't that happened to you several times? God asked you to do something, and you don't know why in the heck he asked you to do it. Then you perform the duty, and you know. Ugh, now I see why. And that just blessed me a lot. More for me than for the kids, in terms of that is just so sweet, that God's habit pattern, or the habit pattern that we can have, is to obey, and then God will show you why afterwards. And we can do that with our children as well, that they obey, and then if we need to explain why we ask them to do it, we can do that afterwards to continue to train and help them to gain that wisdom and knowledge.
The example was very funny,
and hopefully nothing we will ever have to deal with, right? The other thing that really blessed me, I was listening to Tony's teaching from Principles of Parenting in God's Word. We can go to Genesis 6:22 while I'm chatting about it, is that we cannot have believing towards God without obedience, and this interweaving of obedience and believing. So in Genesis, verse 6, you're doing so great. Genesis 6:22. So obviously we know the story of Noah, and that God asked him to do something really wild and build an ark and fill it with all these animals because rain was coming, but rain had never happened before.
There's no such thing as water coming from the sky.
No, it came up from the ground, right? So in Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, this is what the word of God says about what Noah did. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So the word of God said that Noah did what God commanded him. And if we go to Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11, verse 7, so again, in Genesis 6, it says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So Noah obeyed God. He did what God commanded him. In Hebrews 11, verse 7, talking about Noah again, it says, by faith or by believing, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear or reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. But again, in the beginning of verse 7, it says, by faith or by believing, Noah did these things. So believing and obedience cannot be separated. They go hand in hand. Believers demonstrate believing by obedience and acting on the word of God. So again, Children's Fellowship is a support to what you're doing at home, and what we're aiming to do is to build believing in the children, and part of that is that they obey God's word and that they obey you as parents. So some things in terms of what we're going to do and what the kids need to do, their expected behavior, the first thing is when we go downstairs, I have mats for all the kids and they need to sit on their mats, okay? So is this sitting on the mat?
No.
No. How about this?
If you're like this, is this sitting on the mat?
No.
No. Is like this sitting on the mat?
Yes.
Is this just my foot sitting on the mat?
No.
No.
I can't see.
No, you can't
that.
See. How about this? Is this sitting on the mat?
Nowhere near it.
Is this sitting on the mat?
100%.
No. 100%. This is sitting on the
100%
mat.
100% wrong.
You got to put your bottom on the mat. Okay. And that's really just so everybody has their own place, and then it's much easier for hands to be kept to themselves if you're on your own mat, okay?
Okay.
And the kids need to sit somewhat still when they're on their mats. Doesn't have to be perfect like a robot, But they can't, like, be breakdancing either. I should generally be on the teacher or in the direction of the teacher, not looking all over the room, right? And then in terms of mouths and talking, that they need to be quiet as much as possible unless they're asked to participate, right? Like if we're praying or reading a verse of scripture or answering a question, mouths need to be quiet unless we're doing those things. And especially when God's word is being read, we keep our mouths quiet because that's one way we can show great respect to God. In general, I think the kids are going to be just fine with all of this. If they need to be reminded, I don't mind reminding them. But if someone is having an off day and I'm having to constantly remind, or they're not obeying, we're just going to have it just very kindly and calmly, I'm just going to ask that child to come back up here and sit with their parent. Not because I don't love them, not because I'm mad at them, but because we have to be decent and in order when we're at Children's Fellowship. Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And if one person starts being crazy, everybody starts being crazy. Okay?
It's like a chain reaction.
It's like a chain reaction sometimes. So if you're asked to come sit upstairs, it's not that I don't love you. It's just that you need to go sit with mom or dad for the rest of the night for fellowship. And then we're going to have a great time with our friends after fellowship. So it's not a big deal. And that's really it regarding Children's Fellowship. The last thing I wanted to share was a letter that Dr. World, I'm going to try and get through this without crying, a letter that Dr. World wrote to the Children's Fellowship coordinators, and it was published in Teaching God's Word to Children, and it just really blessed me about how important our kids are to God and how important kids are to the ministry and the movement of God's Word. here we go. No work of this ministry is of greater importance than building God's word accurately in the hearts and lives of our children. In the way, or Harbor Light, or moving God's word, whatever we want to call it right now, the children of today will be the adolescents of tomorrow, the youth of the following day, and then adults who will carry God's word until the return. And so that's what I'm really excited about with having felt Children's Fellowship here. Your kids are great believers. I love that they love to pray, that they want to learn God's word, that they're excited about being here. And I'm really excited just to be on this journey with you. The last quote I wanted to leave with is from Lifelines, chapter page 98. Dr. Earl says, "The future of this ministry is in the children." So